together and be with one another. Now we thank you also for your word. We pray that the blessing of your word and the blessing of your spirit will rest upon us today, living on conviction, and we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know that we are in the series called, would somebody like to tell me? Our journey to the Promised Land. And today, we're going to talk about Pharaoh. As he was faced with this message, "Let my people go so that they may worship me." Moses and Aaron come to him. Can you just turn that down a little bit? Thank you. Moses and Aaron come to him with a message from God, and he's about to choose whether to do it or whether not to do it. And he does choose over and over again. Let me tell you that the message is consistent and the same all the time. But the response of Pharaoh is the same and consistent all the time. And this is basically his answer. The decision that he makes over and over again is pretty much the same. He says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" And he doesn't. God does come graciously, yet persistently with a message. And he's going to work out his plan with Pharaoh or without Pharaoh. And he comes and says this: "By this you will know that I am the Lord. Let my people go, for this time I will send all my plagues on yourself, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth." God, who created everything, and God who through Jesus saved everyone, just about who is going to accept it. That God can be the only God who is a judge. He is the ultimate judge. Here are the questions we are going to look at today. So brace yourself. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? No doubt that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, but did God do it? That's question number one. Question number two, you have to brace yourself more for this one. When God makes us choose, what is the difference between personal versus choices leaders make? That's question number two. And question number three is, what is the purpose of God's judgment or judgments? You ready? Fasten your seatbelts. Let's go. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Can I take a vote? Who is for yes? Yes, yes. So some of you are reading your Bible. Who is for no? And so many of you are sitting in between. That's impossible. Remember that this sermon is all about decision, and so many of you are in the valley of a decision. Wow, that's interesting. Okay, let's settle it, and I sit down. That question is answered. That's what it says. "I will harden Pharaoh's heart." And not only that once God says it, he says it three times. Unequivocally. No, no, how do you say it? Unequivocally, that's right. I tried. But he says it, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart." Now, Very often, do you observe, even when you watch what's happening in social media, people make statements, but you have to go beyond those statements and see the details of the statement. And very often the statement can be misleading unless you see the details that cover the statement. So what we are going to do, we are going to cover everything which is underneath the statement that God gives. You ready for that? So let's see it. So, did God harden Pharaoh's heart? The first thing I want us to look at is this. God meets Pharaoh where he is at, and his heart is already hard. But he meets him where he is. This is an extremely important principle. Very important principle. God meets every single person where they are at. He meets you where you are at, but not at the same level that he meets me. God knows you inside out, and he meets us at the level where we are at. Let me ask you. So let's go into details to describe this. Did Moses and Aaron, when they came to Pharaoh with a message from God, say this: let my people go and they will never return back? Did he say that? Why not? Wasn't that the truth? Tell me truth and nothing by the truth, so help me God. Okay, you're starting to think. Okay, so what did Moses and Aaron say to Pharaoh they met for the first time? What was the message? Here is the message. Let my people go so that what? What? They may hold a festival to me in the desert. Did Moses and Aaron reveal the full truth to Pharaoh? No, not straight away. Why not? Tell me the truth. No, you can't handle the truth. Yeah, you know the movie, hey, don't you? He couldn't handle that full truth. So God met him where he was at, with the message that God gave through Moses and Aaron. He was offering to Pharaoh something that is doable. Please have a bit of a compassion on slaves that have been with you for such a long period of time. Have a compassion. Find it in your heart that you would let them have a festival in a desert. Is it doable? They've been slaving every single day of their lives. Just let them now go and have a festival in the desert. Is it doable? Is it challenging? It is still challenging. He's still to do something that he hasn't done before. He would show mercy and grace a little bit. It's challenging. God is asking him to make that first step. Make an effort. Make a bit of a self-sacrifice. They can go without a couple of days, not slaving every day. Just give them a bit of a slack. Be gracious to them. It's doable, but it's challenging. In other words, do you see what I mean when I say God meets Pharaoh where he is at? The whole and full truth is not fully revealed. If God would do that to you and me, we couldn't handle it either. So let's go. Let's follow this. They come with a message, let my people go, so that they may hold a festival for me in a desert. This is now a decision time. This is the encounter. This is where Pharaoh has to make a choice. Not like you earlier. All neutrals, majority of you, okay? This is when the decision has to be made. And you know what? Depending on a decision, his heart would either go softer. Do you see what I'm saying? His heart would go softer, but if he made a different decision, his heart would get harder. Like what you saw with the experiment today. Thank you so much, Sandra, for that fantastic experiment. Either it would go softer or it would go harder. It's a decision time. And he makes a decision. He says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go." That's what he decided. It does not leave him the same, does it? He becomes worse. He becomes hardened. Look what he says. "You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather them their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks." Is he harder or softer? It's harder. Something happened. The only thing that happened was a message from God, a decision that he had to be made, and the heart was hardened. I want you to see that if God did not put Pharaoh before the choice, his heart would not be hardened. It would be the same. It would still be hard, but it would not be hardened. After this, God persists, and I want you to see that God doesn't leave him. He continues. He gives the same message, exactly the same, and puts him before a decision once again. This time, there's a miracle, remember, of a shepherd's staff which turned into a snake and was swallowed. It swallowed the magician's snakes. Remember the story? But what Pharaoh witnesses was that Moses' staff, Moses' snake, swallows the others. And he can see it. There's a clear miracle. There's a message. "Let my people go." Who stands behind this message is God himself. Watch it. Watch it. I'm nudging you into making a proper decision. What happens? Heart softened or heart hardened? There was a third encounter, a miracle of a river Nile turning into blood. Again, a valley of a decision. Softened heart or hardened heart? Do you see how God meets Pharaoh every single time at the level where he is at? Think of yourself. Think of people around you. How do you read them? Especially when they are, when they face a message, especially a message from God. What happens to heart? I want you to see another progression, which is really important. When God, through Moses and Aaron, comes to Pharaoh, there's no miracle. There's nothing. There's just talk. He just gives a message. "Let my people go so that they may worship me." That's all. And Pharaoh, with ease, dismisses the message. "Who is God? Forget it. Go back to your work. It'll get worse for you from now on." It's just the message, nothing else. Second time, God does a miracle. A notch up, something more God does for the person. But Pharaoh's heart gets hardened. Next time, What happens then? You know what happens? Both miracle and a plague. Pain. His heart hardened again. When he responds in negative, God comes again. God persistently comes with the same message. He rejects again. But this time when the plague comes, it affects the livestock. And Pharaoh rejects again. Next time God comes, Egyptians feel it on their skin. Their health is affected. And the heat is turned on progressively until you come to the moment when all the firstborns of Egypt lost their lives. God comes consistently with one message. Pharaoh persistently refuses. God meets Pharaoh every single time at the level where he is at, reaching him to soften his heart. Every single time he rejects, and his heart is hardened and hardened and more hardened and more hardened. God meets us where our hearts are at. His first preference is let us reason. Let us reason. Let us reason. The second thing he does more than that. And we have no shadow of doubt that it is a divine behind this. There is an element of a miracle. But if that doesn't work, there is a necessity of pain that happens. Let me ask you, how many people have accepted Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord through pain that they experienced in their lives? Very often happens. Person goes through some kind of tragedy and there's something happens in their lives. God is in the business of softening the hearts of people. But it doesn't mean that that would happen. It may well be that their hearts will get harder. Yet God still courageously goes on no matter what happens. He doesn't back away and say, hey, I may not as well do anything. He pursues and he pursues and he pursues. He will pursue everyone, including Pharaoh. So, question. Once again, we started with a question. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Did anyone change their opinion? Okay. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Sam. Did he or did he not? He didn't listen. Did he? No, you're saying no. Yes and no. You did my sermon. That's exactly what I say. Yes, he did and he didn't. That's a correct answer. It is correct. Okay, let's look at it. When he said, let my people go, Pharaoh is placed before a choice. He has no choice but to choose. Do you see that? He has no choice but to choose. Once he chose to disobey, his heart was hardened. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Remember? He's worse than before. You're no longer to supply Hebrew slaves with straw. Remember that? Yes, he did. The next time God was asking a more hardened Pharaoh to choose again, using more severe plague. So if God did not come with a message, he really would not, his heart would be still hard, but it would not be harder. Am I having you? Are you going with me? It's okay. If you want to come and say differently, come here, tell me. I think I just read the text. That's what it is happening. But no, he didn't. He didn't. Why we say he didn't? Because Pharaoh was the one who had to make a choice. You see why it is important when we make a statement, that we need to understand what happens beneath the statement. If we say that God made Pharaoh's heart hard, and then that from that extrapolate that there is a predestination, then you would be wrong. Do you see my point? You will be totally wrong if you say God predestined Pharaoh to fail. Then you would be wrong. But you can still be right and say, yes, God hardens Pharaoh's heart if you understand what happened. It did not happen without him choosing. Every single time God made it doable and challenging. Every single time God made it doable and challenging. Every single time God comes to you, he will make it doable and challenging. And if you accept, your heart will soften. If you don't, your heart will harden. So Sam, good answer. So God is in the business of softening your heart. How? He comes with a message. You are to accept it and obey and trust him. And your heart will be softened. But he can harden your heart. How? The same way. He comes with a message, you reject and disobey, and you never ever stay the same. This morning after I preached the sermon and somebody listened, they said, I totally understand the reality of my life. I totally understand the reality of my life and what happened in my life, and I totally agree. I totally agree. If you reject what God is asking you, and you know that full well, you will not be the same. Brace yourself for the next one. What is the difference between personal versus choices leaders make? You see, Pharaoh is like any of us, an individual like you and me. And the choices that he made had a personal consequences for what he did. But at the same time, Pharaoh is not nobody or anybody. He is the world leader. He is the leader of the most powerful nation in the world at that time. So the choices that he makes have global consequences. Choices that he makes have global consequences. So he makes a personal choice against God, and consequences are personal. His livelihood suffers, and his child died. But as a national leader, as the leader of empire, if you will, he makes choices on behalf of the whole nation. And consequences are not just personal, they are nationwide, they are global. Disaster after disaster after disaster affects not only Pharaoh, but affects the whole of Egypt. And there is a total devastation that takes place in Egypt. You need to see that. Brace yourself. There is the last global message from God for the whole world for the end time. And that is a three angels message. Majority of the people of the world will individually reject it. And if you say that, you and I need to understand that with a sadness in our hearts. And this is true. Not only that, the world leadership will also reject the message. What is the message? Then I saw another angel flying in mid-air, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." So what or who are people and modern pharaohs of our time rejecting? Who are they rejecting, and what are they rejecting? God Creator? Like Pharaoh of old, who is God? They are rejecting the Savior, because the message at the end of time is a message of grace and mercy. Message that calls for the repentance of everyone. It's consistent, it's persistent, it's the same, it does not change. It's the message of a Creator, it's the message of a Savior. And it's the message that He is the only one that can be judged. Sadly, people individually and the majority of them, as well as the leadership of the world, as we are heading more towards the global governance, is going to reject this message. The message of God's identity. He's not God. Who is God? He did not even create this universe. They are rejecting God's identity, and they are rejecting human identity. Our identity as men and women is also being rejected by culture. Let me explain. The cultural belief today, accepted globally around, especially in the Western world, the world that was known as Christian, makes male and female a social construct. Just a social construct. It's for you to choose who you are. When you accept God, reject God, and consistently reject God, not only that you're going to reject God's identity, you're going to reject your own identity. Well, that's a Babylonian confusion. And at the end of time, God comes and speaks in a loud voice something about Babylon, and you may remind me. This same culture speaks from the other side of its mouth and says, male and female is not a social construct when it comes to the question of equality. Of course there is a woman. Of course there is a man. Do you see how they speak from both sides of the mouth? And they embrace both of these confusing and contradictory terms. Just one example. It's a Babylonian confusion. God Creator's call at the end of time is worship Creator. Accept me as I am, as well as who you are. Our culture and leadership rejects Him. God's call with the last message is being repeated, because it always stays the same at the end of time. It stays the same. consistent, but is being consistently rejected. Our culture and leadership gets hardened in rejection. Let me give you an example. If you are asked for a prayer by a person who struggles with a sexuality problem, you must not even pray for them. Well, that is hardened position, which was not there a couple of years ago. And you could not even imagine that it would be there. But there is a hardening of a position. Just one example. Not only that God as a creator is rejected, but also God as a savior is rejected. We can save ourselves individually. Spiritually, morally, we can save ourselves. And as far as sin is concerned, we know exactly who are the sinners and who are the saints according to culture. It's already predetermined. We know exactly who is a sinner and we know who is the saint. And it's nothing to do with the Bible. Nothing to do with the moral law. There is its own religion. Babylon has established its own religion at the end of time. We can save ourselves. We have our own morality when we have our own spirituality. Not only that, we can save ourselves medically, physically, mentally, and emotionally. We have what it takes. Economically, we can save ourselves. Environmentally, we can save ourselves. We are perfectly fine without God. We don't need Him. It's all good. Well, we all see how good it is, don't we? Leadership hardening response is we can save ourselves. We can save ourselves. When Savior's call is repeated, things get worse with every rejection. Well, leadership gets more hardened. Spiritually and morally, medically, economically, environmentally, Egypt and modern Babylon, it's happening. As things get worse with every rejection, the world and leadership gets more hardened, people will experience greater oppression. As things get worse with every rejection, world leadership gets more hardened. The good news is God's people will sense that the deliverance is coming soon. We all sense that Babylon is falling. Very soon the message will be, Babylon is fallen. I want you to remember that Egypt was total mess. Total mess, spiritually, morally, health-wise, economically, environmentally. Just read the book of Revelation. What happens to the economy at the end of time? Read in the book of Revelation what happens environmentally at the end of time. Read in the book of Revelation what happens health-wise. Read what happens spiritually wise and morally wise. Yet, God is persistent with the message. It's always there for the reason of softening your heart. And the choice had to be made. But the outcome is always different. I finish with this, because in the Bible what you find is that whenever that there is a grace and mercy, There is a message of truth that is somber, but there is always a good news, always a good news. And here is the good news. What is the purpose of judgment? Tell me quickly, what is the purpose of judgment? Salvation. Let me explain. God saves through judgment and intends to save through judgment. God intended to save even Egyptians through judgment. Let me explain. In Exodus 9, I'm sending a plague of hail, so get your cattle out of the field. He tells even Egyptians. All I want is that you recognize that there is God who is dead serious about what I want to do. But I don't want to destroy you. I don't want to destroy your cattle. I want you just to see. So I soften your heart. You turn around, repent, and come. That's what he was doing to Egyptians. He was gracious. He turned on a heat. But at the same time, he wanted them to see. Let me give you another example. God only gradually intensified severity of plagues. Only gradually did that. He was meeting Pharaoh and the people at the level where they were at to make it doable for them, make it challenging at the same time, but doable. Why? To save them. To soften their heart. I want you to see this text. For by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you, and your people with the plague would have wiped you off the earth. You see that? But that was not the purpose of plagues, to wipe them off. It wasn't. It was to save them. But God courageously stayed on the message, stayed on the message. God is simply not backing off. Do you remember when God met with Paul, who was bent on like a hell of destroying Christians? He said to him, "You can't fight me." Do you remember? There is a word. Tell me, how can you? Anybody help me? Help me. You can't go. What's the word? You can't go. Go against the goad. What is it? Yeah, anyway, you know what I mean. Find it there and tell me at the end of the sermon. I would say that heart of many Egyptians was softened. God's approach to judgment is salvation through judgment. But what we find is there was a total rejection. Do you remember this plague when the total darkness covered Egypt? Do you remember that? Total darkness. And it's not just the physical darkness, but there is spiritual and moral darkness covering the whole of Egypt. It is totally consistent with the rejection of God. Rejection of God eventually creates moral, spiritual, in every sense, darkness. But I want to tell you this. The darkness of Egypt is like a darkness of a pre-creation period. But also, the sin of human beings deconstructs nature. Our sin deconstructs the fabric of our own being. It deconstructs everything God has made. It unleashes the forces of disintegration and chaos. But here's the good news. Darkness of Egypt is the same darkness of Calvary. Let me repeat again. The darkness of Egypt is the same darkness that enveloped the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus took upon himself the full force and consequence of sin into himself. He took that darkness into himself, experienced hell. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? On the cross, all the plagues of God's justice fell on Jesus. Jesus experienced the fullness of plagues so that we can be saved. On the cross, the judge of the universe came down to bear the full force of judgment on himself so that you and I would be spared of it. I want you to know, and this is what will be preached next Sabbath by Richard, that both Hebrew slaves and Egyptians, there was no difference in terms of salvation. The way Hebrew slaves were saved was only by the blood of the Lamb, who took the full force of plagues. God at the cross saved us through judgment. Jesus took it full on so that you and I do not have to take it. God is going to come to people at the end of time consistently with a message of a merciful and gracious Savior. And he is not going to back off. God is going to consistently come to the world and not back off with the message that he is the creator, and as such that he is the judge. There is nothing better that can soften our hardened heart than Jesus' death on the cross. This is the message that the world needs to hear. And you know what? Either their hearts or our hearts will be softened, or our hearts and their hearts will be hardened. Did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Whatever you answer, it's true. What about you? God is constantly in the business of softening or hardening of our hearts. This is a message for you. This is a message for the leadership of our world as we are coming closer to the time of the end. Amen.